There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along and real excited about our next guest. It's been a long time since he was on the show with us when he was running for President of the United States. I also started thinking about this as I wrote my notes. I guess we weren't trained with our style books well enough to deal with somebody with multiple superlatives, so I'm going to stumble through this and let the man correct me. Because normally I would address him as Secretary Ben Carson, but you can't say Ben Carson without saying Dr. Ben Carson. So try this, stumbling through. Secretary Dr. Ben Carson joining us now on Midday Mobile. Thanks for being here.
Oh, well, thank you. It's so nice to be back with you again.
A lot to talk about, but first up, congratulations. New York Times bestsellers list for a conservative is quite the accomplishment for the new book Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America. Dr. Carson, you're prolific in the book writing, but why this book now?
Because I was noticing how everything seems to be circling back to race these days. Sometimes appropriately, but many times inappropriately, and how race is being used as a cudgel to beat people into submission, making white people feel guilty, making black people and other minorities feel like victims. And it's just so ridiculous. It's so unnecessary. And I want people to understand that our future is largely determined by how we relate to this. Are we going to take our past failures and magnify those and build our future around those? Or are we going to take the magnificent victories that we've had in so many areas and build on those while we learn from the mistakes of the past?
That
would seem to be the wisest approach to take.
Yeah, and I want to get into those specifics, but before that, going back to what you said in the beginning, it does feel in this country, at least in the national discourse, you and I talked off the air, you know, reality in our personal lives versus the national discourse, but either you are somebody who denies that there's anything that's any bigotry still afoot, there's no problem in our country, everything is just fine, or you say the whole thing is horrible. We are a racist nation that could never be free from that. It's like you got to choose one or the other versus I think where normal people are. It's like, hey, we've made these great advances. Look at these great things. We've got some things to work on, but yeah, we're doing that, right? Tell me your perspective on that.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we're a nation that's composed of people, and people are imperfect. So they do imperfect things. Do you try to cover up those imperfections or rewrite those imperfections? Or do you learn from those imperfections? And if you're smart, you learn from them. You know, our history is the basis of our identity, which then is the basis of our beliefs. So if we destroy our history, we destroy our identity, and then we don't have much in the way of depth when it comes to our beliefs, and we become like reeds in the wind, easily twisted and turned by every breeze that blows, and we lose America when that happens. That's the reason that ISIS, whenever they go in and conquer an area, what do? They destroy the history. They destroy the museums and the libraries, and they sort of try to get people back to baseline so that they can indoctrinate them. And we see that going on here in a way that's not so dramatic, but it's still very effective. And we have to know what's going on, and we have to be able to fight it and resist it very hard. We also need to be able to recognize that we've made enormous progress in this country on the racial issues. Now, there are those who want you to believe that that's not the case, that we're systemically racist, that everything is built to maintain superiority of one group and inferiority of another. But in the book, I make it very clear that just in my lifetime, there's been enormous advances. You know, when I was a kid, it was a big deal when somebody came on television who was black and they were not in a servile role. You called everybody into the living room to look. It was a big deal. Now, in the same lifetime, we have black admirals and generals and CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and heads of major foundations and university presidents, including Ivy Leagues. We've elected a black man twice for president. We have a black vice president. I mean, to say that we have not made progress is absolutely absurd. And there are those who want you to just listen to what they say rather than to believe your eyes, your ears, and your heart.
Yeah, and abandon critical thinking. I'm maybe 2 decades your junior, but you know, at 50 years old, my family. So a television show like you talked about with like a black American in a servile position like that, and it comes on. It's shocking to our eyes now. I mean, just in that one little piece of what you said of television stereotypes. It's. If we haven't changed, then why does a white guy like me react to it so poorly? Yeah, I mean, if something hadn't changed, then I would just see that and not question it.
Exactly. No, it's changed dramatically. And this is not to say that we've reached nirvana. We have not. And we still need to continue to work. But we should build our future on the success that we've had, the tremendous success, not on the failures. And see, that's what critical race theory in 1619 and places like that, they try to revolve everything around slavery and some of the injustices that have occurred. Well, first of all, as I point out in the book, slavery has been something that every society has had to deal with since the beginning of time. And there are actually more slaves in the world today than there have ever been. When you look at human trafficking, and who is the number one consumer of it? The United States of America. So we got some real problems going on right here, right now. We don't have to go and dredge up something 200 years ago. But also recognize that there is something unique about the United States and slavery, and that is that we had so many people who were opposed to it that we were willing to fight a bloody civil war and lose a large portion of our population to stop it. That's a unique feature.
It is. And, you know, talking about the situations today with it, I think it goes back to if you look at over the history, the sad history of slavery with human beings, it is a inequality of power that has led to that. Right. So you could and I think in our country where we defend our rights and our liberty as citizens to be equal with any other citizen, that should be the best. Well, talking to a doctor, that should be the best medicine for it, right? Because over the history of time, it's been about an inequality of power, strength, whatever, where one group would enslave another group.
Right. And like I said, it has occurred virtually everywhere. You know, there was slavery in Africa. And interestingly enough, and this is pointed out in the book also, there were black slave owners in the South.
Mm-hmm. Free men.
So yeah. There's a lot of very interesting things that you'll find when we go through the history of what's going on. And what that points out is the fact that because of the color of a person's skin, that doesn't make them evil or good. There are good white people, there are bad white people, there are good black people, there are bad white people, there are good yellow people, bad yellow. I mean, it has to do with your brain and your heart. Who are you? That has to do with your color of your skin.
You would think we could just go back to what we all learned in Sunday school, right, Dr. Carson, that we learned that lesson in Sunday school, that God made us all equal. And it should be. But we still, I mean, obviously, it is a work in progress. I 100% agree with that. But you talk about thought process. You've talked about this for a long time in books about mindset, right? And mindset determining outcome. So if the, you could say, well, this is a, you know, systemically racist country. If you believe that, that would only be because you say the mindset. So if the if you go poll me or somebody else, poll you, and we don't have an idea about systemic racism, does it exist? Because it's mindset.
Yeah, and if you believe, for instance, you're going to meet somebody and someone else has convinced you that that person is a racist, whether they are or not, it's not going to matter. Whatever they say, you're going to interpret that as a racist statement. Because that's the mindset that you have going into it. And by the same token, you know, if you just say, you know, people are people, and, you know, I will make a judgment based on who they are and what their character is, that's the reason that human beings have these big, sophisticated frontal lobes. Their brains are different than animals who have these big, sophisticated midbrains. Midbrains allow you to react. That's why animals react so quickly, cat-like reflexes. And they can look at something and react to it. People don't have to do that. They have these big frontal lobes that allow you to process information, extract information from the past, integrate it with information from the present, project it into the future, do very complex mental things. And therefore, we should be the last ones who teach our children to look at someone and make a judgment based on the color of their skin. Why would we teach them to act like animals when they have the capacity to be human beings?
Yeah, if even all the rest of us do have, we don't have the frontal lobe of Dr. Carson, but we do have the frontal lobes to work with. I want to kind of go back to something here about where we're tracking. Or backtracking in this, or sliding, because you talked about the changes in your lifetime as experienced as a black person. I see the changes in kind of around me, seen it, you know, through my eyes. But we're told we're backsliding. Is this like an emperor has no clothes moment? Does it take people who are brave like you are on this to come out and just say, that's not true? It seems like you could undo this if everybody just at one point said, well, that's not true. You know, that individual thing there is not true.
That's so important, you know, to exercise that bravery. But, you know, that's part of what's going on. You're beating people down to feel guilty. Guilty people don't speak out. So if they feel guilt, then, you know, you can defund the police, you can let dangerous criminals out, you can not enforce your southern border. You can do all kind of crazy stuff, and people will just kind of stand in the corner with their head down. I hope you don't call them a nasty name. But, you know, this is where bravery comes out. You cannot be the land of the free if not the home of the brave. And this is the time right now when people have got to stand up for what they believe in and not let the other team just carry the ball.
Absolutely. But the cudgels used out there, and if you're just joining us, talking to Dr. Ben Carson, new book, Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America. Cancel culture, right? That's the latest weapon used out there. I think you make an analogy with Jim Crow and cancel culture.
Yes, I do. And, you know, one of the reporters from one of the liberal organizations said, how could you say such a thing? Well, the fact of the matter is, they're both meant, Jim Crow and cancel culture, to place the opinion of one group over another and to suppress one group and to elevate the other. It's exactly what cancel culture does, and it creates fear and intimidation, and you see what it's done in our society. And we must rail against it because it's antithetical to the very principles of the founding of our nation.
At the beginning of the conversation, I almost jumped to this question because you had said so much. But when we talk about equality, we talk about it in our country. Do we know where is there a finish line for this, Dr. Carson? And if there is, what does it look like? Will we know when we get there? Do you have any sense of that? What, you know, what to tell our children? What to tell ourselves?
Well, you might be a little surprised at my answer, but it really is going to come from the condition of our heart. You know, at the beginning of our country, we had a lot of faith. Our very founding document talked about certain inalienable rights provided to us by our Creator. Every coin in our pocket, every bill in our wallet is in God we trust. The Pledge of Allegiance to our flag says we're one nation under God. But we've moved away from godly principles of loving your fellow man, of caring about your neighbor, of developing your talents to the utmost so that you become valuable to the people around you, of having values and principles that govern your life. And unless we get back to those things, because those are the things that propel us so quickly to the pinnacle, then we will continue to slide downward.
So how do we have that heart awakening here? I mean, I think there's a lot of folks that have that awakened heart. I mean, what do people do? What do people tell their fellow man?
Well, everybody has a sphere of influence. And you determine what's going on in your sphere of influence. You can set the right tone. You can start being kind to people. You can actively go out of your way every day to do something or say something kind to somebody that you normally just ignore. And you can begin to change the culture. And you get enough people doing that, look what the impact will be.
Absolutely. To step another level up on this, because I'm that person that wants that out of life for my family, my country. At the same time, I'm in media. Dr. Carson, right? I'm one of those media folks. And the value or the danger of media in this discussion, you talk about that. So media and the question of equality and race.
Well, the media, the press is the only business entity protected by a constitution. And the reason for that is because they were supposed to disseminate unbiased information to the people so that the people would know what their will is, because the country is supposed to be run on the will of the people, not some monarch, not some ruling body, but the will of the people through their representatives. We've changed that. Well, we're in the process of changing, and it's something that we must fight for. But the press has played a very important role in the past in things like the civil rights movement. But more recently, they've forgotten about the reason that they are protected, and that is because they're supposed to be unbiased, and they put their thumb on the scale. And, you know, they're advocating, you know, for certain ideology, and it's become very harmful to our country.
Yeah, we have a bigger responsibility.
I always tell young journalists, you know, about the history of journalism in this country and that they have a chance to rectify the situation and to be on the forefront of honest, decent media, because that is such an important part of a free society.
There you go. There's a much more astute version of what I always tell y'all. Just act right. Do what you learned in Sunday school and act right, and things will come in. But as we wrap up here, I got to ask you this question. You probably get this from, you know, all the interviews you do, but I got to ask you, as a fan, as a person who talked about you a bunch during the presidential cycle, Secretary Dr. Ben Carson, will you get back into public life? Do you have any plans right now to go back to Washington or wherever?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm enjoying very much what I'm doing right now, heading up the American Cornerstone Institute. And I hope people will go there, AmericanCornerstone.org, and see all the things we're doing. But I will always do what God wants me to do. I just hope that's not it.
Perfect Ben Carson answer. I love it. Number one, y'all need to go check it out. New York Times bestsellers list created equal, the painful past, confusing present, and hopeful future of race in America. Dr. Carson, best of luck. It looks like I'm, you know, don't really need to add that where you are with it, but hopefully this book, not just, you know, for your benefit, but for our nation's benefit, gets out there and gets in the hands of lots of Americans.
That's the key. Well, thanks for being a patriot.
Hey, and thank you, Dr. Carson, for being being a role model. Seriously, you mean a lot to me, so thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there he is, Dr. Ben Carson, our guest right here on Midday Mobile. Coming right back, we'll grab some calls and text. We got plenty of those coming in, so we'll get to those. And also coming up in the second half of this hour, Dr. Sean Powers, Colonel Scott Bannon, join us. Yeah, snapper season, 12:01 a.m., like tomorrow. Get started up. We'll talk about the fish. We'll talk about the rules. We'll talk about the economic benefit of this thing as well. It's all straight ahead. This is Midday Mobile. Glad you're here.